hungry.
It hungers.
It's cold.
Yeah, well, that sucks, doesn't it? It was like warm for a minute there.
Yes, and then it's cold.
That is cold. Hi, Ninja.
Yeah, he's down here being annoying.
Welcome to week 758 of the Crankcast.
Hi.
So, do you normally, do you have bank information on file with the IRS, like for direct deposit stuff?
I do.
Okay. See, I never bothered setting it up because I don't, even when I overpay my quarterlies, I always just roll my, what would be my refund into my next quarterly, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I just never bothered setting it up because why would I, right? You know?
Mm-hmm.
So now with this whole, whatever they're calling it, emergency payments or whatever that they're sending out.
This check?
The what?
The stimulus check?
Yeah, the stimulus check. So, you know, because they're saying if you're getting a paper check, it could be like 3 months before you get this thing. Plus, frankly, I don't want a check with Trump's signature on it. Even mm-hmm. if it is in the memo section, because he's not actually authorized to sign a federal treasury check.
Mm-hmm.
But the IRS realizes this. People don't want to wait, so they set up a thing to that you can give them easily. Give them your bank information, mm-hmm. and that was down a lot yesterday. In fact, my bank was down yesterday. I guess so many people were checking their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That things were just getting overloaded. So I finally managed to get in today. Well, actually, I did get in yesterday, and I punched in my identification info, and it said they had nothing on file for me. I'm like, oh, that's weird. But I just chalked that up to being, opening day buggy stuff or whatever, so I decided to try again today. And I got in, and this time they recognized that I had a payment due. And so I got into the section where you're supposed to enter your bank information and whatnot. And as security information's like, this is normal because the IRS, I pay my stuff online. Like I don't mail the IRS checks or anything. So when they want to confirm who you are, they use your tax info as opposed to what other places do, like, a security question or whatever. And usually you can use like the last year's or the year before or whatever. So I punch in my current information because I've already filed my 2019 taxes mm-hmm. and it comes back up saying, that doesn't match our records. I'm like, what? But then it has a next line says that, try last year's because if you filed it recently, it may not be fully integrated in our system yet or may not have been processed yet. I'm like, okay, well, so I go and dig out my 2018 records and, I punch those numbers in, and those numbers, I know they're right because I had to use them when I paid my quarterlies last. So I punch that in, and it still says that it doesn't match their files. And I'm like, okay. So I've got no recourse then. As of right now, I'm stuck getting a paper check because their system doesn't recognize numbers it formerly recognized. I'm like, yay! So,
no.
That's what you call government in action.
Yeah.
But I figure I'll try again tomorrow. Maybe it's still just buggy. Or I'll just have to wait. And hope like hell I can stretch things till then.
Yeah.
But, so yeah, that was just kind of weird.
How are you doing?
This week's been sort of strange and stressful.
It has?
Yeah. Since we spoke last week, I posted a picture on Instagram, or a video on Instagram, it was lightning in the sky. Because, mm-hmm. I was outside catching smoke, and the sky was just sort of like all over the place. Big black clouds rolled in, and it was lightning, and it was kind of neat looking, So, within a minute after I got done posting that video, suddenly a hail started coming down. I'm like, okay, all right. I'm still smoking, so I'm just standing there watching. Then the wind kicked in, and it sounded like a freight train, And then it got stronger, and I started hearing trees snap. And then I was still standing there, and the wind came down to ground level, and it seemed like it was coming from every freaking direction at once. And I'm like, crap. So I run back inside my house, and I'm standing there looking out my front door, you know, and when I've got like a one of those, you know, big glass storm doors. So mm-hmm. it's glass from top to bottom. I started noticing that glass was vibrating an awful lot, and I'm like, oh, shit. So I shut my front door, my proper front door. And then within, like, you know, 10 seconds of that, the power went out. Then, like, within another, you know, 30 seconds of that, I got an emergency alert on my phone saying there was a tornado warning. And then, yeah, the power stayed out for a pretty long time. My parents didn't get it back for, like, a day and a half or something like that.
And how long were yours out?
A few hours, I think. It was pretty late by the time it came back on, so it was like I just watched the news to see what the hell was going on and then went to bed. But, so, yeah, apparently we didn't get tornadoes here, like, in our area proper, but what we got were called straight-line winds.
Mm-hmm.
And they were clocked at, like, 80 miles an hour or some shit. Something pretty high, like something close to hurricane force. Now, these are gusts, so it wasn't steady winds. So it wasn't like it was like a hurricane exactly, but it did. The net result was that, I mean, the highest number I remember seeing was like 70,000 or 80,000 people were without power around the area, and there were just the next day, like there were, you know, I went out because I had to run some errands, and there were just trees, old trees, like big trees, uprooted completely. Telephone poles snapped in half and hanging by the wires, like just all kinds of storm damage like that, you know. I mean, it was pretty crazy. And it took them the better part of a week just to get like the damage cleaned up, and I'm still seeing trees that haven't been cut up and moved out yet. So yeah, it was sort of weird. And while we didn't get a tornado here, apparently there were like a lot of tornadoes. I think they clocked 10 or 13 of them around the area. I mean, some of them were real minor tornadoes. Whatever they're calling, like EF0 or something like that. Or not EF1. But tornadoes nonetheless, you know. There was one report, and I don't know where it's at because I haven't seen it and they didn't specify it in the news report, but in Mount Healthy, somewhere in Mount Healthy, the wind picked up a garage, blew it up into a tree, and they said it was a massive garage. So, you know, I don't think it's like it was just a little utility shed or anything. But it picked up the garage, blew it into a tree, and then that whole thing fell over into a house. Like,
I'm trying to picture that in my mind.
Yeah. I'm trying to picture that without it being a tornado, you know? Like, because you see pictures, I mean, obviously, Wizard of Oz, you know, houses get picked up all the time, right? But, yeah, I'm trying, like, without it being a tornado, I'm not sure how that happens, but unless it was one of those, like, unsecured sort of, you know, those metal, like, Quonset hut type garage things or whatever. Maybe it was something like that. I don't know. Where it wasn't properly, like, bolted to the ground or whatever. But,
yeah.
Pretty cuckoo, man. Pretty cuckoo. And then, of course, you know, I mean, odd other things. The news isn't helping things any. And it's not the news's fault. It's what's happening. But reading the news isn't helping anything. Apparently, the post office is on the verge of collapse. Which is not a good thing, considering that, you know, they're trying to really push the vote by mail then.
Yeah. I mean, one might think that it's the reason why they're being pushed out.
Oh, I'm sure that never entered their minds. No. I mean, to be fair, Trump's had it in for the post office before this, anyway, you know.
I've had it in for the post office.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What do they do to you?
Well, name a nice experience that you've had at the post office.
Well, I mean, I've had things go astray, but generally my local post office has worked with me to figure it out.
They've always been a nightmare.
I do remember having a lot of problems with Chicago.
An essential service, though.
Right. I mean, especially, again, now with between the mail-in voting and lots of people waiting on paper checks.
You know? Yeah, that's the thing, man. I don't care if I have a terrible experience there. They provide an essential service.
And I don't understand, given the examples in the past of bailouts and things like that, how is the United States Postal Service not too big to fail? You know? I mean, they are a government institution, for fuck's sake. And they want to privatize it. They wanted to privatize it for years. Decades. I mean, you know. Because it's going to make some other rich fucker some money somewhere.
Uh-huh.
But, nevertheless, they are still a United States institution. A government fucking arm of the government. Yeah, arm of the government.
Do you want to call Dave?
I
think he's up. You said you wanted to talk to more people.
Right. Dave didn't seem especially happy to be on.
Who cares?
Once he realized he was being recorded. Yeah.
Who cares what he thinks?
Well, he might.
I don't care. People need to hear from him.
Why don't you ask him if he'd like to first?
No, I'm not going to ask him.
I'd rather not ambush. Well, okay, I'm going to tell him straight up and tell him that if he wants to not talk anymore.
Is he on?
I don't know. I don't see him.
Hmm.
I don't actually have Dave's, info, as it were.
I'm messaging him right now.
Okay. So anyway, though, what else? Have you ever gotten a payment from somebody you don't know through Zelle?
Not usually.
Okay, so I did
get a mail thing that said we need to know if you received this payment. No, it was an email saying, and I thought it was just a scam.
Right.
Said, please let us know if you got this payment so we can cancel the check.
Oh, I don't know what that
means. I went to their website, and it's a real thing, but I don't have any memory of ever working for this company.
I mean, just because it's a website, are you sure it's a real thing?
Well, it doesn't matter. I didn't reply.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, Yeah, because yesterday I got a payment, and the weird thing is it matches an invoice I had out. The payment amount. So I reached out, but it was a name I wasn't familiar with. So I reached out to the person that I had invoiced, and I said, "Well, did you send me a Zelle payment through so and so or using so and so's name?" Just thinking maybe it was somebody that they were working with, maybe. And they were like, "No, it wasn't for me." And I'm like, "Huh, that's really weird." So I started looking it up, and apparently there are some sorts of Zelle scams. I don't know how it works, though, because Zelle's not, like, once you send money through Zelle, and Zelle tells you not to send it to people you don't know, because once you send it through them, it's like you gave them cash, you know? There's no recourse. There's no, like, you can't charge it back, like, with a credit card or PayPal or something.
Hmm.
So I can't figure the angle on it if it is a scam, because they just gave me money. Unless their angle is to contact me and say that they accidentally gave me money and that they needed to... need me to refund it somewhere,
That doesn't seem like a scam.
Well, there are variations on scams like that where somebody overpays you, technically, for something. And then they ask you to refund the overpayment. And when you refund the overpayment, a couple of days later, you find out that the whole payment was invalid and you just gave somebody money.
Yeah, but that has some involvement there that... I mean, it's like you know who that person is, though, at that point, don't you?
A lot of that stuff, no.
You're expecting a payment from them?
Right. But that's what I'm saying. This could be a variation on that where somebody says, oh, I'm sorry, I accidentally sent this to your email address because you refunded to this. you know.
And it's like, too bad. I got your money now.
That's what I'm thinking.
Like, yeah.
Because I don't know that, the, I don't, I you know, I'm still trying to look up who this person is, because I don't recognize the name at all, but, and I don't, you know, like I said, I only have one invoice out that matches the dollar amount, so.
Back in the 90s, I sold a guitar pedal online.
Yeah.
And the person sent me email back. He took forever to pay me, and then when a couple of, it was a long time after, guy sent me this picture of a box that was busted open and said that the pedal I sent him didn't come. It was stolen out of the box, and that I needed to refund him.
Okay.
I did not refund him.
Was this through eBay?
Yes, I think so.
Actually, technically, according to eBay's rules, you would have been on the hook for that if they couldn't prove that it was there. Or if you couldn't prove that it was actually there. Of course, that might not have been their rules back then. They've tightened their rules up a lot to where it's like it's all on the seller now. But, yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of people trying to always get away with something. Yeah.
This may sound bad, but my tip-off, one of the tip-offs was he kept mentioning how he was a Christian and wouldn't lie to me.
Oh, doth protest too much?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that
just, I thought that was a weird thing to say to somebody.
That just goes back to that thing where, like, somebody who seems like they're awfully concerned about something bad happening are usually the people that try to do the things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I'm feeling snarky, I'll point out that, you know, the Republicans sort of hang up on voter fraud.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and how they're so concerned about voter fraud. And, well, you know, the only times we've seen actual provable instances of voter fraud seem to be Republican.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. People. Yeah. You going stir crazy yet?
Yeah, I am.
Well, don't worry. May 1st, we're going to reopen the country.
Will you go out then?
I was being sarcastic, man.
If they open a country, will you go out?
Sure. I'll have my face mask on for the next couple of years, but yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It seems like everybody's getting edgier.
Oh, for sure.
Like,
so did he call us last time or did you call him? I think he called us.
You... Something happened and you added him into the call, is what it was.
Sure.
I don't know if he was calling into you or if you reached out to him and put him on, but you were the one to put him on the call.
Mm-hmm.
I don't actually see Dave in my chat list because I don't have his Skype name.
Oh, there. Yeah, that's how it worked.
Oh, I guess I could add Dave as a friend since I still see his name from the chat thing. Now I'm on hold while Mike does his thing. Please pause. I guess I'm just talking to myself. We here at the Crankcast hope everyone listening is still safe and secure. We hope you're feeling well. Please practice social distancing.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, weird.
Sorry.
Put me on hold with no warning like that.
I didn't mean it!
In the middle of recording a show.
I'm sorry!
I'm just left there talking to myself.
I didn't mean it. Huh. I thought it was... See, this is what happens.
What's what happens?
It's what happens when I try... It's exactly... It, see?
Hi, Dave.
It's karma. It's when I try to do something evil, it always snaps back on me.
Yeah.
This is why I don't do evil stuff. It's not because I don't have the will to do it. It's just that it never works out for me.
Right.
You're like Skeletor.
Yeah, I'm like Skeletor! That doesn't stop him, though. He still keeps going. He still tries to be evil.
Well,
yeah.
He's like the worst at being evil.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, it wasn't even that he was so much evil. He's just sort of a big dick.
Yeah, well, he has grand schemes to be evil.
Yeah, but he's mostly just an asshole. Like, he just does shit like petty little crap, you know?
Wow.
What? Why are you mad that we're being mean to Skeletor?
I thought we were being mean to you by proxy of being mean to
Skeletor. No. He's not being mean to me, are you?
All right. Okay.
Are you crying?
I don't think I don't try to intentionally be mean to anybody. Well, except the Republicans, I guess.
Yeah. Crank's really mad at Republicans right now, so.
And let me clarify on that. It's not Republicans in general.
Don't tell them how you voted, Dave.
What's that?
Nothing.
Oh, is Dave one of those voter fraud people?
Yeah, he is.
He's a no-American?
Yeah.
Sorry.
He's a no-American?
The only reason I'm not crouching a voting machine right now is because of the lockdown.
Well, there's one good thing, I guess.
Yeah.
How are you dealing with it?
I mean, it's just business as usual, really.
Yeah.
I don't really go out much anyway. They've just said today that it's going to last another 3 weeks, apparently.
Yeah. That's sort of my thing right now, is that it's not that much different, but the thing is, like, if I got a little tired of just being in here, I would get in my car and I'd go to the beer store or the grocery store or something. And I can't do that, really. I mean, I can, but not if I'm being responsible.
So, no.
Or go to the studio. I do miss the studio.
Yeah.
I bet everybody else is secretly at the studio wondering where you're at.
No, because I have gone there to pick up some stuff. Like I said, I went and I picked up those masks the other day.
Oh, yeah.
And I think Jim's been going because he gets, like, packages sent there. Hmm. And he's been ordering a lot of, like, movies and stuff. And I'm like, well, that was real dumb, wasn't it, Jim?
Yeah. Is he not with the streaming services? Is he one of those?
Well, yes and no. He does. He still gets Netflix by mail.
Wow.
I know someone else who said that this week, because I was like, what?
Yeah. So I think he does have Shudder. But anytime he does something online, I'm always surprised, because he's sort of like a 70-year-old man when it comes to that kind of stuff. Tim was like that, too.
For a long time, very Luddite.
I don't know. There's something about both of them are very, like, and Tim was also like, if he didn't understand it, he got mad too. Like, he would get mad that the internet was the internet and did not explain itself to him.
Oh, damn.
Jim can be like that, but he sort of understands that he's behind the times.
Sure.
So, but yeah, I haven't talked to him. I send him a message every once in a while, like when the Dune shots came out. I sent that up to him because I knew he would want to see that, and I knew he wouldn't be there like getting first glance at it. So I wanted to see.
And?
Oh, he's thrilled. I mean, he loved Blade Runner, so he's excited about this.
Yeah.
There are two new Blade Runner movies now, aren't there?
No.
What? One.
One?
Yes.
I thought there was one recent and one from a few years ago.
No.
Oh, okay.
For sure. That I'm aware of.
I don't know how I got that impression. I guess, are people talking about Blade Runner again right now for some reason?
Probably because the director is making Dune.
Oh, okay. I just kept seeing like Blade Runner pop up again. I thought there was another new movie.
That is No, I don't think so.
I
don't think so either.
I still haven't seen the other one.
What? Really?
I mean, I not the original. I'm saying I haven't seen the new one. Is what I'm saying.
Right. It's all right. It's a bit long.
It is a bit long. I like it more than the first one, though.
Huh.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
I feel like it says more. It's prettier to look at.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
There's, I hate saying it, but there's kind of actually a story to it.
Yeah.
The original was just kind of, they're both, well, here's the thing. The second Blade Runner feels long because it is. The first one feels long because it's just kind of dull.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I guess that's fair.
That Vangelis soundtrack ain't doing it no favors either. It's like, this is nice to go to sleep to.
Uh-oh. I think you might get some comments for that.
That's fine. I used to own that soundtrack.
Yeah.
And I did use it to go to sleep to.
Wow.
I did put it on really low before when I would go to sleep.
Wow.
It's funny. Me and my roommate and one of my best friends, Ron, he was my roommate in college for the first year, and we would both do that, kind of like how we play music in the studio. We just, somebody picks it, and we would play music as we go to sleep, like really low, and he would play the band The Church, which is like one of our favorite bands, and it's like, not to knock The Church, but they should put that shit on for like insomniacs, because that'll put you out.
Oh, damn. There's a ringing endorsement.
Yeah. Nobody send this to Steve Kilby.
There was a period of time where I went to sleep to Steely Dan a lot.
That, I mean, I could see that. They have a couple of up-tempo kind of things. But, yeah, it's very jazzy kind of go-to-sleep music.
Exactly.
Oh, Fagan wants you to go to sleep.
Oh, damn.
There's
got to be a name for that, right? Didn't Crank have a bunch of names that no one had heard of, like Sleep Core or something?
Oh, there you go, Sleep Core.
Sleep Core.
Insomniac.
Bam, there you go. I mean, how many COVID-19s are there going to be after this?
This is COVID-19, not COVID-1.
Yeah. Oh my God, I told Julie about that last night.
Man.
How many times can you embarrass yourself on national TV like that? Like, I would go, you know, in the 80s, if somebody would say that, you'd go into hiding. They would make songs about you. They would, that would haunt you until you died. How dumb you were.
Doesn't matter. Now you just deny it ever happened and people will leave you.
It's so weird.
It is.
I mean, you remember Dan Quayle, the vice president? He was like a laughingstock because he said a couple of things. That's crazy. Nobody even talks about that guy anymore because he was such an embarrassment.
I mean, Bush Jr. was getting made fun of all the time for his Bushisms. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But at this point, it's like so. I don't even know what she does is far less than what Trump does. So it's like so much less noticeable anyway.
Yeah, well, they kind of enable each other, I guess.
It's all become normalized, you know.
Yeah.
But
that's depressing.
Oh, it is. It is. Oh, we were talking about music. I was going to say something about... I forget now. Sorry. Oh, I used to watch TV to fall asleep, like back in the 90s and stuff like that.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I've done that. I mean...
Well, for a while there, if you do it now, and I found this out because I've fallen asleep with TV on, just like regular broadcast TV on, sometime like around 1 or 2 in the morning, it all just turns into infomercials.
Yeah.
There was a time when that wasn't like that, though, but the TV, it was in between that period where they had sign-offs, where it was just static all night, And in between that and when they decided to just make the entire evening infomercials, they actually used to broadcast shows all night, like reruns of stuff or whatever, you know? And so I used to fall asleep when TV actually was playing shows and stuff, but now if you fall asleep, you wake up and there's somebody trying to sell you a blender or something, you know? And it's just, that's really disorienting for me.
Oh, dear. I think you've gone to the mall.
Yeah, or you get like a half-hour-long commercial about some ambulance chaser telling you about asbestos or something, you know? Like,
that bothers you?
It does, like, because it wakes me up. I could fall asleep through regular shows and stay asleep, but the infomercials actually wake me up.
Weird. Is it because you have to buy it?
I don't know. Maybe it's whatever they're saying. It's this subliminal stuff that they got going on. It tells me to wake up and buy something. I don't know.
Wow.
So now I actually have to make use of the function of the TV timer that turns it off after a certain amount of hours.
Have you ever bought anything from, like, something you saw on TV or, like, well, I guess these days, like, a targeted ad that comes up, like, your feed or something?
I mean, that's basically Kickstarter now, right?
Oh, yeah, I guess that would be, yeah. So you've definitely done that.
I've definitely done that, yeah.
I've bought a couple of things like that.
At least with Kickstarter, that, you know, you're sort of initiating the action there, right? I mean, you're going to look at the Kickstarter or whatever.
Well, but it's an ad.
Right.
I mean, there's a reason why he's looking at it.
Yeah, my days of browsing Kickstarter, when that was possible, are long gone.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I've put several things.
From Kickstarter?
Yeah. Oh. No. Like ads in Instagram. I bought T-shirts. I bought.
Oh, what did you actually buy that T-shirt?
No, I didn't buy that T-shirt. I mean, that's not what I'm talking. I'm not talking about those kind of. That shit is crazy.
You're gonna have to elaborate because I don't know what you're talking about.
Have you not seen like the T-shirts that are like dead? They're obviously put together by some online program on the fly. And the image shows up in like your feed and they're obviously like looking at what you're looking at online. Cause you'll get like, I'm the grandmother of a Harley Davidson writer or something like T-shirt or something like that.
Yeah.
And I got one popped up in my feed the other day that said, all I need in life is beer, guitar and a dog or something like that. And I was like, this is fucking creepy.
I haven't seen those because I tend to run on ad blockers and stuff like that, but I've read articles about the technology
behind it. I mean, do they come, but you can't run ad blocker in Facebook, can you?
I don't go to Facebook.
Oh, okay.
That's my ad blocker. I don't go there.
But they Instagram has the same thing.
I don't see it on the website. I only see those if I'm using my phone, and generally I just scroll past them really fast.
So you look at Instagram on your computer?
I do both.
Oh, I thought it was meant to look at on your phone.
It is. They don't let you post from the computer. But
yeah, that's true, right?
You can look, like, and comment from a web browser. And sometimes I like looking at it better from the web browser because the pictures are bigger. So... But I've actually switched to using my phone with that more. So I do see more ads on Instagram, but I tend to, it's pretty easy to, while you're scanning, to just recognize an ad and flip past it real fast. I don't dwell on them.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as like, anything browser-based, I'm running, ad block plugins. And if the site decides it doesn't want to let me use it because of an ad block plugin, I figure I just don't need to go there for the most part.
Fine.
Yeah, I'm just like, I'll get my information elsewhere.
Yeah.
So, and I block cookies and stuff like that too. So I don't tend to get, as far as I know. I mean, I'm not as easy to track.
I could block cookies.
Like, you mean in real life?
Yeah.
Okay.
Somebody block my cookies. My cookies.
C is for cookie. That's good enough for Dave.
Yeah. Where are my cookies? Aren't they biscuits over there?
We have cookies as well. They're different.
What's the difference between a biscuit and a cookie?
The packaging. I don't know. I'm not a goddamn chef. You see all these people like posting that now that they're on lockdown, they're like improving their like chef skills. The closest I've got to doing that is throwing a tea towel over my shoulder as I retrieve my vending machine burger from the microwave.
British rage.
Tea towel.
How dare you? What's a with tea towel? What do you call it?
Dish rag.
Because that doesn't sound like more appealing.
No, it doesn't. Dish rag.
Oh, well, welcome to our regular segment.
Yeah.
Dave Stokes' British rage.
So, wait, what do you guys call actual...
This is not a regular segment.
That's what you think.
What do you call an actual biscuit?
They don't have those over there.
A biscuit? No, what would you call a biscuit? Well, I don't think we have those. I think the closest thing is like a scone.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But scones...
I've never had an American biscuit, so I don't know that's accurate.
Yeah, like a scone's definitely different from a buttermilk biscuit. Like
it's the same principle, though.
Right, they are, yeah. But that's like saying a muffin's a biscuit.
I know. Yeah, you ain't got to tell me.
Oh, I made some good cornbread muffins the other day, man.
Wow.
Honey cornbread. It was good. I also found out that if you have the right tool, you can actually grind up popcorn into cornmeal.
Yeah. What's the right tool? Surely the right tool is just something heavier than the popcorn kernels.
I'm saying you can't just like... You can't pop it into your like standard coffee grinder because the kernels are too tough. You know, you have to have like something heavy duty blades or whatever.
Oh, I thought you took like a big rock, like a pestle.
Oh yeah, I guess I could actually. Yeah, big rock would work too. Yeah.
That was my nickname in high school.
Big rock.
No, pestle.
It was not.
His nickname was pestle. The vessel with the pestle holds the brew that is true.
Thank you for actually making me feel better.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I was laughing my ass off while I was working yesterday. Amazon put up series, I think it was 8 through 10 of the Riff Track shorts.
Oh, yeah?
And I must be going a little off my nut because I was laughing at things that weren't that funny.
Yeah, those aren't that funny.
But I was laughing my way all the way through them, though.
Yeah.
So... And there were some good ones. I liked, like, you know, the ones that from the 60s or 50s talking about, like, Thrifty America and stuff like that. You know?
Yeah.
Or there was this one.
Shake Hands with Danger out yet?
Say what?
Do they have Shake Hands with Danger out yet?
Oh, I don't know.
That shit is fucking hilarious. It's like, it's this construction safety movie that's fucking violent as shit.
Didn't they do those in some of the live ones?
Yes.
I think I might have seen one or two of them.
And it's narrated with like a country music song, so it makes it even weirder.
Must be from the 70s?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I remember our driver's ed films. Like, you know, I mean, I took my driver's ed class in the early 90s, but they were still showing... Like,
oh, yeah, that was really hyper-violent ones.
Yeah, they were still showing the films from, like, the 70s and 60s.
Yeah. I never saw one of those, but I've heard of them, like, Blood on the Highway and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, graphic...
Sounds like a horror movie.
Graphic stuff about, like, people going through windshields and cracking their head open on telephone poles and just, like,
Jesus.
Blood streaks on the street and stuff, you know, like... And we're sitting there in class going, just, okay.
It didn't stop a single one of you.
Nope. We all drove anyway.
I don't think the point was to put people off driving.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
You know, they nobody wants to drive in England, it seems like.
Well, I don't think that's true. I think a lot of people that live near London don't have to. I know I don't have to.
Do kids grow up going, I can't wait till I have a car there?
I think it's become more of a thing over here. Yeah. Like
that's definitely a thing here.
Yeah. but it doesn't have the same. I think it's just for the sake of having a car. It's like it's the feeling of freedom as opposed to the fact that it is actually freedom in the States when you have to drive 20 minutes to get anywhere. Whereas here it's just go somewhere else.
You put the. I think you just you really said it. I think that's what it is. It's not the car as much as getting away from the parents. Yeah.
Whereas it is more of a necessity. Well, you know, in most places in the States, it's more of a necessity.
Yeah. Meanwhile, kids in England have been taking the train and going places by themselves anyway. So.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes a lot more sense to me.
It's just laziness here. They don't want to like flounce off, slam the door on their parents, and then walk 20 minutes to a station.
Yeah, I think it's. I mean, that's definitely arguable. That I don't know whether it still is, but for a very long time, owning a car, especially as a young person, was sort of part of our national identity.
Yeah, definitely. They sold it to us like that.
I mean, that was the, you know, having your own car and just being able to get wherever, whenever, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I did not grow up affluent. I mean, we didn't hurt for anything, but, you know, most of the people I knew when they turned 16 expected to get a car.
Oh yeah.
You know,
I didn't even get my license until later. Because if I got my license, I might have had to get insurance to be on my, you know, because I might have wanted to drive my parents' car.
Because my dad was a car dealer, and he was always talking about the cars that he would, you know, bring home. So I just assumed that we get a car.
Yeah.
And we did. We had many cars, but that's because we never had a car. We just had a bunch of cars that were never ours.
I've owned a surprising number of cars for one person.
Yes, because you never buy one that is just good and reliable.
Why would I do that when I could just get a new car every other year?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it?
Some people do it by leasing. I just do it by buying cheap cars.
Yeah. Leasing sounds dumb, too.
Yeah, that never made sense to me either.
I remember Blaylock trying to sell me on that shit.
I mean, I guess... No, it still doesn't matter. I'm trying to think, like, if, you know, in hindsight, if it makes sense, but it still doesn't, because you still got to pay for your own repairs and shit, you know? Mm. And your own maintenance. It's not like you're just leasing the use of it with somebody else taking care of it entirely, like if you rented an apartment or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, you got to pay full coverage. If you go over your mileage, you got to pay for mileage. Yeah, leasing never, I don't know. I mean, I guess if you want to drive something that's super flash without having to actually buy it.
Yeah. It's basically the only reason people do it.
Yeah.
That seems weird, though, because surely those things cost more to repair and upkeep and all that other crap. And if you're paying for that anyway, surely that makes just as little sense.
Yeah. I mean, at all, yeah. I mean, I've never been a big car person anyway. I don't like driving, and I don't care what I'm driving in as long as I fit in it. I have to specify that. I do like fit in the cars.
Yeah, you hated my cabriolet.
I did. that was like, this is a 16-year-old cheerleader's car. This is not a car for a grown-ass man.
For sure. Totally.
You know why I used to say that it was a cheerleader car? Because I was hit by a cheerleader in a cabriolet when I was in high school.
No.
Yeah. And I knew who it was. She went to my high school. She was actually the mayor's daughter. He wasn't the mayor yet, but he became mayor later.
Huh.
Right. So when you say hit you mean you were in another vehicle, right?
I was in my car, and I was in front of her. And she ran into me as I was at a stoplight.
Wow.
Was she, like, totally doing her makeup and stuff?
I have no idea, but she had a car full of cheerleaders, and they hit me.
Oh.
As murder weapons go.
Yeah, I mean, it could be worse, I guess. But...
Yeah.
What a way to go. Yeah, that does seem... I think it was a popular car for fathers to give daughters as graduation presents. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And probably that was probably succeeded by the Mazda Miata.
Yeah. Oh, another car that I definitely cannot fit in.
Yeah, I couldn't see you in a little MG either.
I honestly can't fit in a Miata. My old art director in Memphis had a Miata. And I think I tried to sit in it once.
What do you think?
Oh, well, I don't remember. It doesn't seem like me to try and get in Eric's car.
Right.
But, it was a convertible, so sometimes it was in the parking lot without its top up. And I do know that I was curious.
I just imagine you just sitting randomly in people's cars that are left there.
Well, I mean, there's like one big family over there. They wouldn't find it.
They were cute little cars, though.
They were kind of cool little cars, but the thing is, I could wear one like a belt.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they were definitely tiny. Did you ever try to fit into a Fiero?
Yes, my brother had a Fiero in high school.
Did you fit?
I did, but like I was lying in a coffin.
Wow. Because
that's what those cars are like.
Yeah.
They are such big, blocky messes with barely any room for anybody in them. And I'm like, why is everything in here so heavy and chunky?
Oh, the Fieros are neat, though. They have plastic bodies.
But why is there no room except for two people to sit in there?
Because they were tiny sport compacts.
It felt like I was getting in a spaceship.
Yeah.
The way it encloses you.
You notice how I'm saying that, like, I'm agreeing with him in an enthusiastic, like, yeah, that's neat kind of way, and he's like saying it in a negative kind of way.
The dashboard was, like, almost up to your chest.
Well, yeah, I mean.
Imagine, like, walking around in one of these cars like one of those, like, walkers they give babies.
Yeah. That's pretty much how they fit Mike, yeah.
Wow.
I'm less of a car person than I used to be. I realize I don't like driving as much as I used to.
I hate driving.
I used to love driving.
I never loved it, but I despise it now.
I'm not quite to the point where I despise it, but I don't want to do it, like, unless I have to now.
Yeah, I'll do it if I have to, and a lot of times you have to.
Right, yeah.
I will take the train whenever I can. I found myself taking a lot more like Uber now.
Yeah.
If there's like a thing I have to go to, like if Challengers is having something, or I'll take an Uber.
Sure. Let somebody else do the driving.
Yeah. And Julie knows that I don't like driving, so she mostly drives when we're going places.
I used to love it, man. I'd go out like in the middle of the night just to drive on, like, when the highways were empty and stuff like that.
Sean Dove loves driving too.
It was really relaxing to me, and I enjoyed it. And somewhere along the lines, I don't get that kind of like satisfaction out of it anymore.
Huh? Why? Do you know why that is? Is that because of other people on the road, or?
That could be part of it. I mean, I know I got sick of driving in Chicago. Because driving in Chicago is just ridiculous.
You know? It definitely stresses me out. That's definitely one of the reasons I don't like it. It gives me unnecessary anxiety.
I mean, it's not like it's super... Let me qualify this. Driving in Chicago, I'm sure, is not like driving in New York or something. Or like driving in L.A. where you're just stuck places all the time. It's you get around in Chicago. It's just it's very crowded. It's very a lot of stop and start. Very hard to find parking. Very hard to, you know, like,
yeah. I've driven in L.A. and L.A. is its own little personal hell.
And I've never driven in L.A. I've just everybody talks about it and what I've seen on like TV and movies and stuff. You know,
it's just so L.A. is such a like a constant stream. It never stops.
Yeah,
right.
And you're just like, in Chicago, at least you'll find a moment where it's like, oh, it's quieted down for a second.
Yeah,
it's never like that in LA.
Chicago was better like late at night, but I think maybe it started there though. When I moved to Chicago and was living there for a while, I started kind of going off driving a bit. And then when I came back here and I was still self-employed, you know, I didn't have to like drive to work or anything anymore. So I just naturally, my driving cut down. And then when I did have to go out driving, I just did it for utility's sake instead of enjoyment. And I guess I kind of settled into that.
Settled.
Yeah.
Dave, have you played any D&D online?
No, we're playing tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
What's your character?
Oh, I don't know yet. Someone's making it up. Oh. It's like a group that we haven't talked for like 5 years probably, and now that everyone's shut in, everyone won't shut up.
This sounds like it's going to be awesome to play. It's going to be real fun.
Just when he thought he was quit of them.
It is pretty much like that. Because they had the common sense to like test how they were going to do it yesterday, and it was just a nightmare. It's like all these guys that are all like 10 years older than me anyway, and they, you know, can't get their microphone work. It's a nightmare. So I fully predict I'll have internet troubles around 8:15 tomorrow.
That's fine.
But we'll see.
And they're all big fans of the show. Let's have them on right now.
I'll send it right after. I don't care. They know what I say about them.
Oh, boy. Hey, Mike, we should organize a D&D game.
You know, it always sounds good. And then it's never as fun as I think it's going to be.
I think the problem that you have, is that that's probably going to make it worse, is that doing it online, there is a lot more sitting, waiting for your turn, basically, right? So there's a lot more of that. You can't really interact because you end up talking over everybody on the call.
Oh, yeah.
So it's definitely not as good as it sounds.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if you were to do that, it would definitely color your perceptions on what D&D is, especially at the moment.
Good point. How do they do it? Okay, so like when we're talking, well, I mean, we're talking here on Skype, and we have to see the way to each other when we're talking. Sometimes we talk over each other.
Yeah.
Apparently, I still haven't used it yet, but apparently on Zoom, speakers take focus.
Yes.
So that like you can't override them. Or something?
Yes, that's kind of annoying too, though.
Have you?
Yeah, that's why Zoom has got like the corporate version of Zoom comes with like, oh, you know, wave your hands up if you agree and down if you don't. All of these like hand gestures to compensate for the fact that it's going to like cut people off mid sentence if someone else starts talking.
Yeah. Because like when you're talking on, say you're playing a game like a multi-user game online. I mean, everybody could talk over each other on that, right?
Sure. I mean, it is the kind of same thing, but with D&D, where it's a lot of your turn anyway, do you know what I mean? There is kind of, it takes a while to get around to you, and then the less familiar people are with what they're doing, the longer that takes in the end, eventually.
Yeah.
So I think that it just makes it harder to keep people engaged at the table the whole time.
Seems like somebody, some enterprising person would come up with a way to do sub-channels, like while the main channel was talking.
Yeah. A lot of them do that, but like, you know, that would probably apply to a bunch of really tech savvy 20, 30 somethings.
Oh, yeah.
Who are used to having 14 different chats open and whatever else. But when it's like 50, 60 year old guys, no, not so much.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I see your point. Yeah.
What's that noise?
No, but there's a few people that do it. There's all of the like the actual plays and stuff that are on Twitch and YouTube and whatever else. But they tend to be quite small groups, like 3 or 4 people, because it's much more manageable.
Yeah. See, we I know every time we've tried something different other than Skype, we've always bailed on it really fast.
Yeah, I don't really care for Zoom, and I've done a bunch of Zoom since this whole fucking thing started. Because everybody started adding me to their we're doing our virtual happy hour kind of thing.
And yay!
Like, all right.
Nobody sent me a virtual happy hour invite.
Well, sorry.
Oh, well.
Do you want to be part of this?
No.
Well, that means I'm definitely going to have them call you now.
That's okay.
Don't. If it happens, I don't know. They might have gotten tired of me being on there.
Don't bother. Yeah, like, I still think we ought to probably give Discord another try, because I like the fact that Discord, you can make it a room where people can just join on their own instead of you having to call them and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
I just think that would be fun.
You can't do the video with that, though. If you want to do the video thing, you still have to do, like, a group chat on Discord if you want to do video. You can have one person, like, share their screen, and they've upped, like, the limit on that because of the current situation.
Right.
So you can have one person do it that way. But if you want, like, a full, you know, video call thing, you still have to go through a group chat message on Discord, which is, you know, everyone has to be friends, and it's another social media thing to manage.
Right. You have to be my friend. Well, I guess my friend.
That's what I read was the cool thing about Zoom, is you didn't actually need a Zoom account. Apparently, you could just get an invite and then join in.
Yeah, because it's just like regular conferencing.
Yeah, it shuts off after a while, though, if you don't have an account.
The free one's like 40 minutes limit.
Yes.
Okay. I was looking into it.
Per call or total?
Sorry?
Per call or total?
I think per call.
Right.
Yeah. I know a lot of people would just start the call again.
Yeah, I was going to say, I assume you could turn it off and turn it on again. Like,
it's the way to fix everything else.
It's true. And I still haven't used Twitch. I know Twitch started out as mostly just being a gaming, like, to record your gameplay, right? Like,
mm-hmm. It's still
hasn't that become more of a like a group chat kind of thing too, though?
No. Oh. It's like a channel thing. It's like a YouTube thing.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah. So a lot of the D&D streamers will stream via Twitch, and it's all they're doing is arranging their Discord video call on the screen before they start streaming.
I see. Again,
there are a couple of ways of doing it. I tried to do, there's another service called Lightstream, which lets you bring people's webcam feeds directly into your stream, which you can't do natively.
Huh.
So that we tried that last week, me and a couple of artist buddies over here, and that was a unmitigated disaster of technical issues. Yeah, but there are a couple of ways around it. But, you know, it's generally, if you're doing that kind of group play kind of thing, it is basically a Skype or a Discord call, and then they just chop the Discord window up or the Skype window up and stick it on a string.
I was thinking about stuff like this, because I was looking up how to do. We've never bothered doing video, like, chats on the Crankcast.
Yeah.
So I just never really bothered looking up how to do that. You know, so I didn't know. So I've been looking at this up over the past week or so, and looking into different things, and I was thinking about, like, how I tend to get set in ways that work and don't bother, like, exploring new things until I have to, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was trying to explain, a friend of mine's starting up his own podcast, and he was asking me how to do it. And I'm like, I started explaining how I do it, and I'm like, wait a minute, this is probably not the best way, because I've been doing this since 2005 in the same way. And I'm like, things have changed a lot since then, you know?
Yeah.
So I tried pointing him to, like, other services that I knew about vaguely, because I don't actually use them. I've heard of them, you know, like Libsyn and Blueberry and stuff like that.
Right.
And places that'll host your podcast, as well as, like, set up the RSS feed and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to explain stuff to him. And I'm like, yeah, man, I'm like really out of date on this stuff. You know, I'm probably not the best reference for it. I mean, from the beginning, I did it kind of funky anyway, because I was coming at it from a home recording setup. So I wasn't just doing it like straight up through like a headset mic plugged into my computer kind of thing, you know?
Right.
And so my whole setup's been screwy from the get-go, but it's gotten even worse, like considering how it's frozen in time. It's like a snapshot of 2005 podcasting. Even the website's the same as it was in 2005. Or at least...
I mean, broke.
Right, I mean, right? Who the hell goes to the website anyway, right? I mean, so...
I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But, you know, you could do it pretty straightforward. It's not anything that's difficult, really, if you wanted to do the video stuff or go straight to Twitch. Especially if it's like Twitch, that you can just throw it to a YouTube account or download it and just grab the audio out of it and put it up as a podcast. You can do all that stuff.
One thing I liked when I was looking into Zoom was, maybe I wasn't reading this right, but if I was reading it right, it looks like you can capture the separate audio streams as separate audio streams. Because they made mention of outputting, like when you record locally, you can output multiple audio streams from each source, apparently.
Yeah.
And then you can just remix those back together later, whereas like with Skype, you and Mike are automatically mixed together, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not getting your stream and Mike's stream as a separate recording kind of thing.
You know? Yeah. I know a few people who do like gaming podcasts, and they do their episodes live now on their Discord. But they still have to record each person's feed locally, and then someone mixes it before it goes on the website. But yeah, they can have people, you know, listen in as an audience thing on a Discord channel, and they can't talk, obviously, but they can hear everybody that's allowed to talk.
Right.
And then they've got the, you know, if there's four of them on, they've got four separate feeds that they have to mix together for the actual final episode.
And I mean that's cool. That's one way to do it, but that requires everybody knowing how to record themselves separately. You know.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you're having like a guest on that knows how to use Skype but doesn't know how to get their own voice signal separated out from it or anything, you know, I mean that just becomes an issue kind of thing.
Sure.
Because I've tried that, and half the time, especially the more people you get, the more people you get that you find out after it's done actually didn't record themselves.
They didn't record anything, yeah.
Right. So then you have to wind up, it's not even just a simple matter of mixing separate streams at that point. You have to mix the good streams in with the mixed, compressed stream.
Right.
Figure out, like, cut in and out, figure out who's talking or who needs to be talking or whatever.
Yeah. I didn't say it wasn't a lot of work.
Oh, yeah, yeah. we're all about lazy on the Crankcast.
See, that's my speed.
We like to talk about doing neat things, and then we just say we'll get around to them sooner or later.
Yeah.
Like I think, you know, we've probably got a big backlog of T-shirts we're supposed to be doing, right?
So many that I don't remember. A lot of them.
And you know what? The sad thing is, especially today, doing T-shirts would be like the easiest thing we could do.
Yeah, right.
Because we just put them up on, what, T-Fury or something? Wherever your T-shirt shop is. No?
Does Mike have a T-shirt shop?
I do.
Mike does have a T-shirt shop.
You do?
Yeah. Let me find it.
Are you on Threadless?
I am on Threadless. It's, I think I have it as the Battle Pug Shop. Let me see if I can just type in.
Yeah.
No.
No.
What am I doing?
This is why you don't play D&D online.
Yeah, it's threadless.com/shop/@battlepug.
Slash what?
/shop/@battlepug.
Oh, okay. At Battlepug. I thought you said Pat Battlepug.
Pat Battlepug.
Yeah.
My friend Pat Battlepug.
Yeah.
There's only like Grumble and Battlepug t-shirts up there right now, but I have other ideas that I haven't done.
I thought, didn't you used to have an answer shirt?
I did have an answer shirt, but I made those myself.
I have one of those.
Right on.
Do you?
I do.
Mm. Do you wear it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't leave the house, so no one asks me what it is, but...
I really love... this. I've never really looked at the Threadless store, but I'm looking at, you click on men's and then it gives you all the different varieties of clothing you can get, and it has all these different models from the neck down, and the guy wearing the sweatshirt is such like a schlubby dumpy guy that it's kind of neat to see. You don't usually see like a guy that looks like me on here modeling a shirt.
It's giving you the accurate representation.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, we should make some more. I should advertise this more, I guess.
Probably.
You probably should.
And maybe, like, you advertise it at all, maybe? Like.
Well, I mean, I don't know how to do that.
You know how to tweet. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Post a picture of the design on Instagram and say, hey, link in my bio.
Link in my bio.
Or just post the link there anyway and make people copy and paste it.
Yeah. Links don't work too well on Instagram.
Well, that's
true. Because I tried to put a link to the warm-up on there.
You have to have a business account, I think. And I haven't pulled the trigger on switching mine yet because I don't know if there's anything else that happens when you do that.
You get a lot of
feedback on your post. You get like a lot of responses. I get like at the most like 200. Hmm. At the most. That's like,
yeah.
You get a lot of like likes and stuff.
Well, thanks. But I don't think it's like it, because I see a lot of people that have less followers that get a lot more engagement. So I don't know if it's, you know, the algorithm or whatever, or they're just using it more often. Because I tend to go through like binges. I won't use it for 2 weeks, and then I'll come back and post 72 times. And then
you know who does that? I noticed the other day. I'll bring it up to Julie. Like every once in a while, I'll see like 30 posts all in a row from Tim Seeley.
No.
and I'll look up. I'll go to Julie. I'll like, Tim realized he had an Instagram account again today.
He's been posting them daily the last couple of weeks. I think he's doing like a
sketch. Yeah, that's because he's stuck at home, I bet.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm
dust off the old Instagram account.
I go through phases where I don't post anything for a while, and then I'll listen to a bunch of records in one day and post all those, you know, or whatever.
I like to post those album covers.
So the weird thing is, you know, I don't get much in the way of feedback on mine one way or the other. Yeah. And it's all from, generally, it's all just from people I know, you know?
Yeah.
So the other day I posted Buck Rogers soundtrack, and I actually tagged it Buck Rogers in the 25th Century, and I guess that was a tag that had already been going on for a while, because that one actually got a bunch of likes and stuff from people I have no idea who they were, you know, kind of thing. And then, and I think it's because I tagged it, because of the tag I used. You know?
Yeah, tags work. Tags work.
I didn't realize that tags actually did work until that, because then I went through an actual font nerd moment for a minute, and I was watching a movie, a Dick Van Dyke movie called Fitzwillie, and the opening credits to that, the typeface they used is the same typeface as the credits for the Star Trek original series show. And I'm like, this is weird. Why? Why is this the same? Because from everything I looked up, what got weird about it is from everything I looked up, that was a custom typeface made for the show. So how it wound up getting used on this movie, I don't know, and I couldn't find any information about it online. And so I posted it on Instagram, like, this is the same font, right? You know, and I tagged it, like, Star Trek font and stuff like that. And that one actually got likes and stuff from people I had no idea who they were. So, yeah, tagging works, is what I mean to say. So,
yeah. That still sounds like a lot of work.
It is.
Well, it depends on, yeah, I mean, I guess it's a lot of work, but if it's getting the result you want, then it's worth it, right? I mean, if that's the thing you care about, right?
Right.
if that's the thing you care about, then you'll care about that kind of thing.
Exactly. Because it's like stats on the Crankcast. I never really bothered looking at them very much because I don't care who's really listening.
Right.
We've never tried to monetize it or anything, really. So, I mean, I think we tried, like, affiliate links early on, and I took those off pretty quick. And, you know, but, I mean, if your goal is just to do it, to be doing it anyway, like, going through the extra work to look up stats or put hashtags or whatever isn't worth it. But if you're actually trying to get results, then I guess the work's worth it.
Sure.
And I don't really know what I went out. I just post on Instagram. It's like one of the few online ways I've got to keep it up with people now.
Yeah.
Since I don't do Facebook and I don't really go to Twitter very much anymore.
Instagram.
And Instagram's like the worst method of actually keeping up with people because it's just not set up to be a chatty thing.
You know? The world.
No.
Which is also its strength though, because you don't get a lot of, you know,
strength.
The noise that was driving me away from the other platforms.
Yeah.
Noise.
I was just about to say that.
Come on, man. That's silly.
You miss Jim, don't you?
I do. I always did miss Jim. Yeah. Jim gets on my nerves every once in a while, but everybody does.
Yeah.
Jim's awesome. When he does that, it always makes us laugh.
Yeah.
So are you and Julie still sleeping in the same room?
What?
Yes.
I just figured, you know.
Although, the other night I did threaten to go sleep in the basement because she ate one of her edibles.
Oh.
And then she came to bed.
Snoring?
And she wouldn't stop laughing.
Oh.
And that's fine, but the whole, like, bed vibrates because she's trying to be quiet. She's trying not to laugh out loud. So you just hear the bed just shaking. And I'm like, what's going on? And it's because she's laughing to herself.
Well.
Are you sure you're allowed to tell this story?
Yeah, that's fine.
That's fine until she hears about it.
Yeah.
I was just asking because, you know, you mentioned that everybody gets on your nerves, and you guys have been constantly together for a few weeks now, you know, so.
Yeah. I mean, we don't get any more arguments than we usually do.
Cool.
I mean, we're grumpy with each other all the time, but it doesn't, I mean, it's never anything serious.
Yeah.
I wonder how many relationships are breaking up over this whole situation.
Well, we're super lucky in that. I mean, I don't know if everybody else is like us though. I mean, I'm a very lucky person.
Yeah.
But I don't know if everybody works like that.
Oh, probably not. I wouldn't. I mean,
we usually know when we're, you know, when it's not serious.
I think if I was still having roommates or something and I had to be cooped up for, you know, all this time with the same people, I'd probably just lock myself in one room a lot.
Yeah, sure.
Because, yeah, that wouldn't last long.
Nobody would blame you either.
I don't know.
That's probably... And hey, they'd probably be sick of you too.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure. I guarantee it. Yeah. I, you know, it's not that I'm a despisable person or despicable person or anything, but my charm wears thin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Play nice, Mike.
That's going a long way.
Well,
you know. We miss you, Craig.
Anyway. Hey, Mike.
Yeah?
Do we have an email?
I don't know. I can look.
All right.
Is it more hot dog talk from Don?
No.
To be honest, I kind of miss it.
Hot dog talk?
I mean, what else is there to talk about, Mike?
I don't know. Captain Colin wrote us.
Okay.
Captain Collins been living like I see his posts and he's living life like the most luxurious prison guy. Like he only seems to be on his back porch, which looks really nice, and right. He's always working out or drinking beer.
Yeah.
This is the Blue Beetle guy from Thought Bubble, right?
Was that? Yeah. Captain Colin Ryan, Ty Chaps, Camp. Yeah, we hung out in the hotel afterwards.
Yeah.
Can't believe it's been a year since my trip to Star Wars Celebration in Chicago. It was such an amazing 5 days. It's weird to think that a year later, life is so different. That's for damn sure.
Man, is that a year already? Shit.
Yeah. But you know what? It snowed the exact same time as it did last time, because it snowed like crazy when he came for that one day.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And it did the same thing here a day ago.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because I went outside and I went, are you kidding me? I was like, after all this. I'm so grateful to Mike, Julie, and Sean for letting me hang out with them and being excellent Chicago ambassadors. No problem, anytime. While in lockdown, I've been rewatching the Marvel Universe films in preparation for a podcast that I sometimes co-host, The Mighty Marvel Mix. I think Winter Soldier is a perfect film. What are your top three MCU films? Cheers, Captain Colin.
I mean, Winter Soldier is the only one that's actually like a real film, right?
It does have that feeling, yeah.
Yeah. It could quite easily be like a Mission Impossible or something like that.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
I think the first Iron Man's still really solid. I mean,
it is. It's definitely solid. It's definitely.
I mean, it's a movie. Like, it's not just like a,
I can totally watch it every time that it's on.
I think it depends. I mean, if you're talking about like three for someone who's completely new to the whole thing, I think Iron Man is in there.
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. I don't know. You just said, what's your favorite?
Yeah.
And I'm woefully behind on the MCU movies, so I don't know about the newer ones, but
I don't know if Winter Soldier is in my top three. I don't know. I guess it is.
I mean, it was really good.
Those Spider-Man movies, are those MCU or are those the Sony ones?
I didn't count those as MCU.
They don't? But they are.
I didn't, just because it makes it easy to pick three then.
That's true.
So, like, you're saying if they were part of the MCU, they would be the three, or?
It would
be harder to pick the three.
Yeah, with one of them at least.
Yeah.
Because those are definitely at the top of, like, my likes.
Yeah.
Ragnarok's in there.
Which one's Ragnarok?
That's the last Thor movie.
It's off Ghost.
Was that? Yeah,
it's off ghost.
That was the third one, right?
Yeah. That one's just so much fun to watch whenever.
Yeah, I still haven't caught that one yet.
Yeah, you need to watch it. It's just, it's just a ton of fun. I would say, I don't know which one, but I put Guardians of the Galaxy in there too, just because they're fun.
That's what I was going to say. For me, like, I think probably like Guardians and Ant-Man would be in there.
I don't know if I'd put Ant-Man, but it's definitely fun.
That's it. I think that's the reason. They were a lot more fun than the other ones.
Yeah. I mean, I do tend to gravitate towards the ones that aren't as serious. But you mentioned you mentioned something interesting with that first Iron Man.
I think the first Iron Man's kind of fun too. There's a certain joy in it,
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to pick one. I didn't realize how much. I do like those last Avengers movies, too.
I'd pick Winter Soldier because it's a proper film.
Yeah.
Endgame for the end of Endgame. And Ragnarok for the silly movie.
You know what? I might go with that. But I don't know. I don't know if I... if I love Winter Soldier as much as anybody, it has nothing to do with whether or not it's a good movie. It's just like my mood. It's not Winter Soldier is a great movie.
I think you can put Winter Soldier on like standalone to someone who's not seen any of the earlier stuff, and it will still work.
Yeah. Absolutely. And that's the thing that I brought up. The thing I brought up with when Captain Marvel came out, because I was saying, it was such a dividing movie.
Yeah.
That I was like, it's probably one of my least favorite of the Marvel movies, but that's like saying it's my least favorite pizza.
Yeah.
Because they're all really kind of good.
Yeah.
I mean, the first and second Thor aren't the greatest movies, but I'll watch them.
I can't remember the last time I watched the first two Thor movies, so I probably would agree, but...
The second one is a lot of fun. It's just that there's nothing in it, really. I mean, it's hard to even remember what happens in that movie.
Yeah. I just know it ends in Greenwich. That's it.
Right, yeah. And so Crane can't answer because he hasn't seen a lot of them. Ben writes, "Hey guys, loving all the guitar talk. It brings me back to when I had time to play, but it also reminds me of how Donald Trump ruined everything."
Well, he did give you plenty of time to play now.
Oh, okay. He gets into it. He says, "Unlike you guys, I'm more middle of the road political and open varying opinions. I love outspoken, unapologetic people and guitars. In high school, I thought Ted Nugent was amazing. Maybe the xenophobia and racism was always there, but until Trump got elected, it wasn't so blatant. Being half Korean, I never thought my father seemed racist either. Again, then comes Trump. It's almost like his election gave society carte blanche to be horrible."
Oh, yeah.
"Sorry for venting. I'm just worried about friends and family, some of whom have small business that may not recover. On the bright side, I wanted more time with my kids, and I got it. Thanks for giving me horrible movies to watch and something to look forward to each week."
Oh, hey, on that note, the PPP, Payment Protection Program?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're out of money.
Oh, for real?
That's what I read.
Yeah, I saw that today, yeah.
Yeah. they're already out of money, and lots of people haven't been able to get help. So.
They're not taking new applications, and they can't vet new lenders.
Yep.
Jesus.
So
it's almost like it wasn't really planned for.
Yeah, you know, maybe they didn't. I'm suspecting maybe they didn't think it out quite as well as they ought to.
Yeah.
But back to Ben.
Sorry. I considered myself pretty middle of the road for a long time.
I did too. I mean, as far as liberals go, I was definitely a what they call centrist now, but when they say centrist, it's almost like a derogatory term now.
Yeah, it's a slur now, right? It's basically. Yeah.
But you know, I always thought the center was where the balance was. Everybody's like, now they're like, nope, and I'm like, well, that goes against the teaching of most every religion.
I do think that if you're taking current American politics to the extremes where they're at, especially, you know, as bad as the Republicans are, the middle of the road between that and liberals is probably not a good place to be still.
Well, no, you're right. That's the thing. It's not that the center became a bad thing. It's that the extreme sides of it became so unbalanced.
Right.
There is no center anymore.
I mean, center,
you can't be in the middle when there's such high stakes about, you know, things now.
Yeah.
It kind of sucks, because I think the reason why it is such a derogatory term is because it gave a lot of people an excuse not to do anything.
I gotta say, for me personally, I still don't know how liberal I actually am. You know, it's compared to like people
actually just ask yourself a couple of questions. And if you say yeah, then you definitely are. And you might not think you are, but you probably are.
And I will say that despite what I vote, I don't consider myself a Democrat.
Yeah, that's fine. It doesn't, that doesn't matter.
I'm finding myself more
vocal
about it than I used to be.
People spend so much time worrying about classifications rather than what those things actually mean. It happens. I mean, what makes me crazy is when I see people post that they took this test to tell them what political belief they are.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you took an online quiz. You don't already know. You mean somebody just told you what you are because you took a test? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
I think people need to like codify this stuff, though. Do you know
yes,
I mean?
Exactly. That's what I mean. They need we classify so many things.
Yeah.
And it's on both sides. Both sides do it, which is crazy to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know though. I think the classifications
I've seen so many like LGBTQ people on Twitter yell at other people about defining who they are, and I've never seen so many people that are into categories as much as those guys.
Well, these things are important though. they carry power, Mike. I mean, it's like that thing that brouhaha was going on a couple of years ago about, you know, People telling other people that they weren't feminists, and they were saying, well, do you support women? And, well, then you're a feminist. But, I mean, feminism, in that specific case, to be identified as a feminist is way different than just supporting women. You understand? Like, I mean, there's a difference there, and then labels the classification.
Of course I understand, but I'm also saying...
The label and the classification is important, though, because if you start throwing that around...
What I'm saying is you can't say that they're important and then say that they're not.
The problem is when people warp them from like what their classical definition is. So like centrist might mean one thing politically,
yes.
But yeah. When people throw it around now, they mean left of me or right of me. They don't mean that you're a centrist. They just mean you're further right.
That's very true. That's very true. Yeah. It sucks. It really does suck.
And unfortunately, we don't have a universal dictionary where one word means one thing all the time.
Well, yeah. On Ted Nugent, I don't know. He probably didn't wear his xenophobia and racism, but he was definitely a creep. I mean, he adopted a girl so that he could date her.
What?
Yeah, like I didn't know anything about Ted Nugent's politics or personality until like much, much later.
Ted Nugent is like an insane sex addict. And he had a girlfriend who was underage, so he took legal guardianship of her from her parents agreed to that.
Who's worse in that situation, Ted Nugent or the parents?
What's that?
Who's worse in that situation, Ted Nugent or the parents?
I mean, the parents.
Ted Nugent's a creep.
That being said, you know. Journey to the Center of the Mind was a good song.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed Cat Scratch Fever as a kid.
I mean, if you listen to his songs, you can kind of tell he's a sex addict.
Well, I mean, in context of the period he was putting those songs out, a lot of those people would have been sex addicts.
Yeah, but his are more extreme than a lot of the other ones.
I don't know. I never noticed him being any worse than a lot of them. I mean, listen to any Whitesnake song.
Yeah, I guess.
Of course, David Coverdale may be a sex addict. I don't know. But
well, he was Tony Catania accused him of abuse.
That's not the same as sex addiction, though.
I know, but I was saying Stranglehold is about attacking a woman.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I'm kind of glad I haven't heard any of this guy's music now.
I mean, the riffs are pretty awesome. I mean, he's into guitar, so I can see why he likes Ted Nugent. What else? Yeah, and the family stuff, that does suck. I mean, I've got cousins that I can't talk to because they're, you know, have terrible views about the world.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, it's not. What's that?
Do you miss talking to him though?
No, not at all.
Right.
That is it for email.
Okay.
Keep going, Ben. You can do it.
Yeah.
You have no other choice.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
There's a motivational speech if ever I heard one.
Keep at it. There's nothing else you can do.
There's nothing else you can do. There's no choice but to keep going on.
God.
If you don't.
Well, no. if you don't, you will anyway, because what else are you going to do?
What else are you going to do?
That's, yeah. All right, then. I've noticed a marked increase in how much more gross business commercials are getting now during the lockdown.
Yeah, Julie and I were talking about that last night.
I mean, they're getting straight up to the point, like they're using, I had the radio on while I was doing dishes the other day, and I don't listen to like regular broadcast radio very much. So whenever I do and I get hit with these commercials, it's like fresh, like I'm not like numb to them or anything. You know? So I'm noticing like, it was like every other commercial was using the same keywords, you know, like essential and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And talking about how, you know, like we consider you essential. And it's like, okay. Mm-hmm. Now you've gone past the line of being supportive during a crisis to just kind of grossly taking advantage of it to promote yourself.
Yeah. That's what marketing does.
Yeah. Marketing has gotten really disgusting though. It wasn't always like that.
It's been disgusting for a while.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. But I'm saying it wasn't always like that. You know,
as somebody that used to work in advertising, it's always been like that.
They've really, over the past few decades, they've super refined it. It's gotten a lot more manipulative and disgusting, you know? And the thing is it's gotten so commonplace, it's hard to even recognize it anymore. Because it's just normal. But then when you do, it's like seeing a...
You're depressing, Dave.
Sorry, Dave.
No, by all means, carry on.
I was just going to say, it's like seeing those Jesus signs, you know, like where it's made up out of shapes, and at first it just looks like a bunch of squiggly shapes, and then you see the word Jesus, and you can't unsee it after that, you know?
Well, I'm sorry you've seen those. I don't know what you're talking about, and that sucks.
Sure you have.
Are you sure these are signs, or you're just seeing this in, like, hamburger packaging and stuff like that?
No.
I just put up three billboards near Crank that just has squiggly lines
on. Oh, no.
Oh, crap. Maybe I'm having a They Live moment.
Could be.
Huh. But to me, it's become a lot more blatantly gross more recently than, you know.
I think you might have just reached your tolerance for it is the problem. I think it's just, as it becomes more commonplace, they have to dial it up to get people to even notice.
Yeah.
So you, I think you've basically just hit what your limit is and what you're willing to tolerate with regards to getting you to buy stuff.
Yeah.
But for most people, it's probably a lot less severe. But I mean, because you're exposed to it so much now, they pretty much have to do that to slap you out of the stupor to get you to look at it.
Can't you see what I'm doing to you?
It just seems so exploitative.
You're exploitive.
Exploitative.
Did you say exploitative?
Exploitative?
I don't think that's a word.
Exploitation? Exploitative?
Exploitative. I think exploitative is a word.
Yeah. What? No, it's not.
No?
Exploitative?
Well, I'm going to look this up then.
You added a "tuh" to that. It's exploitive.
No, exploitative is a word.
No, I'm stupid. No.
I think you got confused with expletive, Mike.
I'm stupid. Everybody killed my job.
Mike's battery wound down.
I mean, that's a good sign that word wasn't in your vocabulary.
Why am I so stupid?
Anyway. So, I don't know. Anybody got any last words, or you want to quit, or what do you
Yeah, I gotta go do stuff. I don't know what, but I'm gonna. I got to drink.
I'm still trying to sort out this mystery Zelle payment that I got.
It was me. I sent the money.
Well, then tell me what the hell it's for. All right. Anyway, thanks for coming on, Dave.
No worries. Thank you once again for having me on.
And you can reach us at crankcast.com, crankcast@gmail.com. Mike's website is ihatemike.com. You can go find Dave on Instagram.
Yes.
That is.
It's Stokes Book on Instagram, isn't it?
Yep, that's the one.
At Stokes Book. Go like.
Threadless.com/shop/@battlepug.
That's so unwieldy.
I thought it was just Battlepug. Obviously, I was wrong.
Yeah, go visit the Mike's T-shirt shop. Maybe if he starts selling something, he'll make more designs or something.
I want to keep calm and stop telling me to keep calm.
I want to bring back the Jane shirt.
Yeah, well, there's like two people that understand
that.
Jane! Jane!
What?
Yes.
I think it's not a Firefly reference.
Dave.
No, that's not.
Dave. Sure. Dave, sure.
Okay. Well, everybody stay
Touch
safe.
Touch Mjolnir, Dave.
Touch Mjolnir.
Touch Mjolnir.
How do I hang up this call?
I thought it was Mjolnir.
Mjolnir. Touch Mjolnir. Don't correct me, mortal.
Oh, damn.
Okay. Well, everybody stay safe, and we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
Bye.